Radio Prague News.
The lower house has approved a new civil code. The Senate has rejected a change of the retirement age regulation proposed as part of the pension reform, and the Czech Agriculture and Food Inspection Authority has started inspecting vegetable sprouts, which may be behind a recent outbreak of bacterial infections in Europe. The lower house of parliament on Wednesday approved a new civil code, bringing about a radical overhaul in the areas of family ownership and contract law. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil said that the country deserved a new liberal code of civil law. The opposition Social Democrats and the Communist Party criticized the law but could not prevent its passage through the lower house. At the instigation of the Social Democrats, the lower house's Constitutional Rights Committee will be investigating whether the new civil code is in accordance with the Czech constitution over the next few months. On Wednesday, the Senate voted against a change in the retirement age regulation proposed as part of the pension reform. The opposition, which has a majority in the Senate, also pushed through changes to the proposed calculation of pensions that would benefit middle-class seniors. The proposal will now again be put to the vote in the lower house. Under the new pension reform, the retirement age would gradually be increased, with a planned universal retirement age for both women and men to be introduced in 2041. According to the head of the Senate, Social Democrat Milan Škech, it would be more sensible to update the retirement age every 5 years based on the average life expectancy. The Czech Agriculture and Food Inspection Authority has taken a number of samples from vegetable sprouts that may be behind an outbreak of a bacterial infection which first was observed in Germany. The German government has stated that it may be caused by vegetable sprouts. The Czech Food Inspection Authority started drawing samples from both domestic and imported sprouts last week. So far, experts in Germany have not yet confirmed that sprouts are the actual reason behind the infection, which is caused by a mutated E. coli bacterium. In Germany, the bacterial infection has killed 25 people. The general director of Czech TV, Jiří Janáček, has announced that he will be resigning from his post due to health reasons. He said on Wednesday that he will be leaving the post which he has held for 8 years at the end of August. He added that he was making the announcement in due time so that a new director could be found. He refused to provide a detailed explanation of his health. However, in 2007, Mr. Janáček suffered from venous thrombosis. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The present heat wave should give way to a bout of cold and rainy weather on Thursday, when day temperatures are expected to drop to around 20 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, we talk to the deputy chairwoman of public affairs, Karolina Pík, about her party's future in the coalition government. Protesters come out against the planned demolition of a building on Prague's Wenceslas Square. And a little later in the program, stay tuned for Spotlight, when we visit a popular pub with a microbrewery right on the premises.
We want to present to the Czech public more than just the bottom fermented Pilsner style beer. So in this restaurant you can find many various beer types.
Yum yum yum. If you like beer, don't go away. The lower house of the Czech parliament is in session debating a series of reform bills. But the government that is vowed to implement them has been entangled in a drawn-out political crisis, fueled by recurring clashes between the Junior Public Affairs Party and the Civic Democrats and Top 09. On Tuesday, Public Affairs announced they would give their coalition partners another 3 weeks to fulfill their demands, including more ministerial posts within the centre-right government. Jan Richter spoke to the Public Affairs Deputy Chairwoman, Karolina Pík, and asked her to clarify her party's future within the coalition.
I understand that it's hard for the public to understand what's going on. I must admit that sometimes even for an insider it's difficult to understand what's going on the political scene in the Czech Republic. What we did yesterday was a result of a long negotiation within our MP club where we decided that we do not want to cause the fall of our government on the day when we're starting to negotiate the long-awaited legal bills for the reforms. We decided to push back the date until we are willing to negotiate with our representation within the government. We would like to be understood as a constructive party within the coalition and give our coalition partners as well as us enough time to negotiate until the end of June, which we all agreed on. And on the next K9 meeting, which should happen already this week, all the coalition parties should be going there already with an idea of what we would like to make part of the amendment to the coalition agreement.
The lower house of parliament started yesterday debating a series of reform bills, as you said, ranging from pension reform to the new civil code and other important bills. Are you going to support them even if your coalition partners will not fulfill your demands?
During this parliamentary session, we are going to be supporting all the bills which, at the end, we participated on creating. So we would be destroying our own work.
Yesterday, your chairman, Mr. Jon, said that a crucial part of your agenda as a party is the bill that will ban shares held by anonymous people. What happens, again, if your coalition partners refuse to back this bill that, according to Mr. Jon, is crucial for your party?
We have already notified our coalition partners several weeks ago that this is an issue we would like to open at our coalition meetings. Our coalition partners have accepted this. I think that ODS as well as Topo 9 want to send together with us a clear message to public that we're willing to do more than what's in the coalition agreement to fight corruption. I've already talked to the Minister of Justice about making relevant changes to the filed commercial code and civil code, which will allow us to ban bearer shares.
And finally, Ms. Peake, some commentators pointed out that your party might be the one in the lower house that's most afraid of possible early elections. Would you, if the situation in the coalition continues and doesn't reach any kind of resolution soon, would you consider pushing for an early election?
First of all, I don't think that early election is the first solution that will come after, in the case this government falls. I'm sure there will be other attempts to build another type of government. Yes, of course, we are not looking forward to an early election. We consider that the last resort. However, I think we wouldn't be the only ones afraid of early election. I think all the parties would have a very difficult time running a pre-election campaign in the political atmosphere in the Czech Republic.
Deputy Chairwoman of the Public Affairs Party, Karolina Peake, was talking to Jan Richter about her party's situation in the centre-right government, ending there on the possibility of early elections. The planned demolition of an Art Nouveau building on Prague's Wenceslas Square is drawing increased opposition in the form of an online petition, while seeing hundreds take part in a protest meeting on Tuesday on the square itself. The building in question, 1601 Opletalova, is not itself a heritage site, but is located within a protected area. The owners and developers want to tear the structure down, as well as gut the interiors of two adjacent buildings, to make room for a new commercial center. Other than the petition, though, few obstacles stand in their way. Both City Hall and the Culture Minister, Jiří Besser, have already given the green light. A little earlier I spoke to Richard Beagle of the Club for Old Prague, opposed to the plans.
I think it's very surprising, like, decision, because it's a great precedent for all patrimony in Prague, and especially all the patrimony defended or protected by UNESCO heritage. And in fact, the reservation of monuments was invented exactly for the cases like this one. And in this case, it means that many buildings like this, which are not protected, namely as a monument history, could be destroyed. They're pretending that they could demolish this because I think 4 or 5 times they were warned that demolition is not permitted.
An earlier decision by City Hall was reversed, but it was upheld by the Culture Minister. Why do you think that he has taken this decision?
Why? This is a very good question. I don't know, but what's sure, it's not a decision good for patrimony, but very, very good and interesting for the interest of the developer, of this, of owner of the building. So I'm afraid that the minister was under great pressure and he failed. I don't know. It's my explanation. In fact, this is because of this. This is great precedent, and it show how weak is protection of monuments in Prague.
If we come back to the building at 1601 Opleta Lava, some experts, for example, the well-known architectural historian Zdeněk Lukeš, have stressed that the building was changed several times in the early 20th century. He suggested that it had lost its 19th century appearance, which would have been, say, more valuable or worth saving. Do you think that he has a point?
This argument is absolutely ridiculous, because the value of this building is in the second phase from beginning of 20s from architect Bohumír Kozák. And Mr. Lukeš, of course, know it in this case.
Now, if we look at the design that is supposed to go up, there are many modern buildings on Wenceslas Square, or there have been modern renovations. Do you view any positives in the design that is set to replace the old building at Opleta Lava Street?
You know, this building, which is here, there, in this place, it's a very interesting example of something like synthesis of cubism and classicism. And it's a very good proposal for all urbanism of the Wenceslas Square, because it respects the tower of the National Museum, which is the great dominant of the space. We can always incorporate new buildings in the area like this, but not against all good quality buildings. You have many examples of new construction on the square, Palác Euro in the corner of the street Mishigira and Václavské náměstí, Václav Square. You can see some other example, not so good, but it is in general possible, but not in the case of the building as quality as is the building on the corner of Petrova Street.
Now, there's also been some controversy, not only regarding the planned demolition, but also about the design itself. Do we actually know, if it goes ahead, what the new building will look like?
Many variants. One was absolutely huge in the sense of volume, twice or three times greater than the others. After the owner proposed some other project higher than the building which is there, but in fact always it was designed very superficial or ordinary. They really tried to do something nice, but not architectural, only commercial. And what the great problem is the tower, which still is there on the corner. The developer could do what they want. I think it's very dangerous.
That was Professor Richard Beagle of the Club for Old Prague giving his view on demolition plans. And some 11,000 people have reportedly signed that petition against the demolition. Opposition has also been voiced by former President Václav Havel. And although the culture minister's decision is final, opponents like Mr. Beagle hope to drive up further opposition in the hopes that a breakthrough might still be possible. And we turn to today's main feature. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Before we get to that, just a quick reminder, if you'd like to contact us here at the station to discuss anything you've heard on our show or make any comments or have any questions, please do so by writing to us at our address. That's english@radio.cz or our street address, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. In the Czech capital, Pivovarský dům, a brewpub right in the center of Prague with a microbrewery on its premises, as well as its sister establishment, Pivovarský klub, a restaurant that offers hundreds of beer varieties, were among the first to promote small regional beers. With the current renaissance of microbrews in full swing, Pivovarský klub continues to showcase the best of what the Czech Republic's small brewers have to offer. Pivovarský klub's Aleš Dočkal talks to Sara Borůvka in this week's Spotlight about how he got his start in the hospitality business, the beer industry, as well as how many kinds of beers his restaurant has on offer.
For example, this is a very interesting beer, Schlenkerla, that is made fully out of smoked malt. The Germans themselves call this beer a liquid ham.
Aleš Dočkal, the manager of Pivovarský klub, explaining some of the curious beer choices at his pub and restaurant in the Prague neighborhood of Karlín. Here, beer enthusiasts can choose from hundreds of bottled brews.
Among our beers, there are several beers that even have some interesting story behind. Let's say this is the strongest beer, bottom fermented beer, recorded by the Guinness Book of Records, with the name of Samichlaus, which is in Swiss-German Santa Claus. And that is a beer that is brewed only once a year, really on the day of St. Nicholas, on the 6th December. And that beer ages full year until next, when it is distributed and a new batch of beer is made.
But of course, foreign beers are only a small part of what Pivovarský klub has on offer. Czech brews are also heavily represented. I asked Mr. Dokškal to describe the restaurant and what you can find here a bit.
My idea was, while in other restaurants serve sometimes hundreds of dishes, with one beer we would serve one dish with hundreds of beers. Well, this is, of course, a joke, but currently we run some 240, 250 beer brands in bottles, plus 6 beers on tap, and the selection of the beers on tap always and constantly changes. So since opening, we have run through our beer bar some 400 beers on tap, and we want to present to the Czech public more than just the bottom fermented Pilsner style beer. So in this restaurant you can find many various beer types, from Weizens to Belgian lambic beers, Abbey beers, India pale ales, whatever, just name it. So the diversity and this large selection of beers is what makes our restaurant unique.
Pivovarský klub, opened in 2005, is the sister restaurant to the brew pub Pivovarský dům, which also houses a microbrewery on its premises, just a few blocks away from Wenceslas Square. Aleš Dočkal explains how he first got started in the restaurant business.
Pivovarský dům started all this. We opened in 1998. Actually, the idea is very, very old. My lifetime friend, with whom we were traveling and enjoying our school vacations some 35 years ago. As a coincidence, that time I was a student of the hotel trade school and he was a student of the technical college specializing in fermenting industry, namely beer production. So we were dreaming that once, when we grow up, we would have a house where he would make beer and I would have a restaurant and sell that beer, which that time was obviously a nonsense, because during the communist time, where there was no private entrepreneurship and whatsoever, these were just really childish dreams. Well, the situation changed, and more than 3 decades later, these old dreams came true.
Pivovarský dům opened at a time when microbreweries were still quite a new phenomenon in the Czech Republic, in 1998, not even a decade after the fall of communism. Since then, the restaurant with its small, unsighted brewery has flourished. While the traditional Czech menu, with many dishes that have been prepared with the Czech Republic's national drink, including pancakes with beer marmalade for dessert, is popular with tourists and locals alike, the beer remains the main attraction. Aleš Dokškal describes what he has on tap and how much of it is brewed yearly.
Pivovarský dům actually brews beer just for its own restaurant. So the microbrewery runs at its almost maximum capacity. We brew there 8 beers. Some of them are all the time. The basic, of course, is the bottom fermented Pilsner style, unfiltered, unpasteurized pale lager, and of course the dark version of the lager as well. Then we were one of the first, and for some time, for several years, even the only one brewery in the whole country that made top fermented wheat beer, Weizen. So that's always on tap there. And then we were probably the first ones who put on tap flavored beers on a regular basis. So our coffee beer, sour cherry beer, banana beer, and nettle beer with a greenish color are evergreens of our selection. And that all is supplemented by what we call a special of the month that changes with the season throughout the year. So on the 8th tap, we always have something special, from flavored beers with really unusual flavors to other beer types. One of our highlights past year was Russian Imperial Stout, really strong and excellent stout, which is a type of beer very strange to our market.
Having opened over a decade ago, Pivovarský Dům is one of the country's first successful microbreweries, and its sister establishment, Pivovarský Klub, also celebrates microbrewery culture. What is the status of smaller beer producers in the country now, over 20 years since the end of communism, and will their brews become even more popular? I put the question to Mr. Dokshka.
I believe so. Look, while the industrial breweries, especially those regional mid-size industrial breweries, have really hard time to survive the fierce competition imposed by the supranational groups and those, you know, biggest breweries, the microbreweries have a good chance to survive, or, you know, to bloom, actually, because they have no competition, actually. Most of the microbreweries brew some beer for their own restaurant, so for them, another restaurant is rather a competition than some big brewery or even the biggest breweries on the market. And the customers are ready now, or are getting ready more and more, to appreciate craft beers, the higher quality, something else, something that really is different from the mass production. And people are also ready to pay for the quality and the choice. Imagine when we opened our Pivovarský Dům those 13 years ago, we were even not yet 20 in the country. The current number of microbreweries is some 110, with many more to open. And I believe that there is still room in the market for maybe at least 100 more of such microbreweries. And I think this would be a really very, very good balance to the mass production of the biggest breweries.
The team behind Pivovarský Dům and Pivovarský Klub has also realized that as microbrews become more and more popular, the appeal of home brewing increases as well. To cater to those who would like to make their own beer but are not equipped to do so, Pivovarský Klub now offers beer enthusiasts the chance to make their own libations.
This is a package of services. The principal thing is that anyone who's interested in brewing his or her own batch of beer has that chance here. But it's not only about the brewing itself. It is supposed to be a pleasant day who those people who buy this package spend here in the restaurant. So, step by step, under supervision of expert brewmaster, they will prepare their own batch of beer, and they can choose any type of beer they want to brew, including stout, porter, or, you know, we are able to bring the needed material, needed malts, necessary hop varieties, and everything what's necessary to make the typical type of beer.
In 2010, Pivovarský Klub even appeared in the Prague episode of the well-known American TV series No Reservations. with celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain, who went to the restaurant with local beer expert and journalist Evan Rail, where they had this exchange.
This is a nice place for beer in the sense that it has six kinds of beer on draft.
Right.
They're all from regional producers you'll never see anywhere else in Prague or outside of the country.
So they're basically exclusively here.
Yeah, these are breweries from the outskirts of Moravia or Bohemia that send in one keg, and they sell it until they run out of beer.
The success of both Pivovarsky Klub and Pivovarsky Dům is a testimony to the revival and celebration of this country's multifaceted beer culture. And if Aleš Dočkal's predictions hold true, we are only at the beginning of a veritable explosion of microbrews.
And that spotlight was written and produced by Sarah Borufka. And if you enjoy beer, don't forget to let us know here at the station, english@radio.cz, or you can also take part in the discussion at our Facebook page. You can find all that at our website, radio.cz/en. Now, it's time for today's edition of Soundcheck, this time by Jan Richter.
Welcome to this edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language program, in which you can learn interesting phrases through song lyrics. Today we will hear 1986 song Brejle by the pioneer Prague new wave band Hudba Praha. The phrase to listen for is Růžový Brejle. The phrase Růžový Brejle literally translates as rose glasses. In this song, the listener is told that the rose-tinted glasses he has been wearing have fallen off his face. They must have fallen somewhere and he must have sat on them. The English equivalent of the expression is rose-tinted glasses, with the very same meaning. Please note the form of the word brýle, glasses. The word in its base form and in proper Czech is brýle. In colloquial Czech, however, many speakers change the vowel Y into a diphthong A. In this 1986 song, the band, having been harassed by the authorities and forced into changing its name to be able to perform publicly, expresses feelings of disillusionment, shared by their peers in the audience. The glasses had already been broken anyway, they say in another part of the song. Another way of saying that someone sees something through a pair of rose-tinted glasses in Czech is vidí to růžově, literally he sees it in pink. The opposite, meaning a pessimistic prediction or forecast, is then vidí to černě, or he sees it black.
Soundcheck with Jan Richter takes us just about to the end of today's program. Don't forget, you can always sign up for our daily email to get your news to your email box for free. Find out all the latest about what's going on in the Czech Republic, from news about the government to the latest in arts and culture. We also want to thank our listeners who regularly contribute and also write into our mailbox program, including those who took part in the recent listeners' competition. That's it for us, though, today at Radio Prague. My name is Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, take care.